Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? We're back here at the studio again after a while at your Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. It is hot today, but I am happy to be back and ignoring the heat and enjoying the moment.
Trying.
Here with the team. In front of me, beautiful people, Mrs. Daniela Magnani.
What's up, beautiful people?
There
miss
you,
guys. What's up?
Oh, we skipped the episode, right?
Yeah, you guys weren't here a couple of episodes.
Yeah. Where were you?
Where were you people?
Anyways, people.
Beautiful people, I'm back.
Mr. Campos, how you doing, sir?
Good, man. Just a little hot, but other than that, doing great.
Awesome.
You guys are sissies complaining about this beautiful weather. It's just 98 degrees.
Calm down, desert lady.
Yeah.
Desert brat.
You're acclimated already to the extreme, right?
Oh, goodness.
So what's up? What's next? We got a quote to go?
Yes, we do.
Mrs. Danny?
Our quote for tonight, it's, we cannot solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we use when you create an Albert Einstein.
Wow.
We cannot use the same
thing. You cannot solve problems by using the same kind of thinking.
So that has to do with change.
It has to do with change.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the perfect quote for the perfect topic. And you know what? Before we dig into the quote, I want to ring the alarms. Sound the alarms.
Holy shit. Everybody run.
Breaking news.
Guys, breaking news. For all of us house flippers out there, right?
Yeah.
A big change taking effect July 1st.
Yesterday. Yep.
A new California law just increased regulations on house flippers, or home flippers, I should say.
Yep.
Assembly Bill 968. I'm just going to read the heading of this. Mandates a comprehensive disclosure of repairs and renovations from sellers who flip 1 to 4 unit properties within 18 months of buying them.
Wow.
That's a big change.
Yeah, that's going to tighten up, you know, for the faint of heart. It's going to tighten up some of the math. Those timelines have to be met. Now you have to surround yourself around those credible and reliable people in your team, those contractors that help you go across those deadlines, because now every single day is costing you more money.
Yeah, I mean, number one, that whole price structure, the change in pricing, right?
Because
for a lot of the stuff that I've done, I use a handyman. You know what I mean? Yeah. Pretty simple, pretty easy, pretty cheap.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, good quality work, but
it used to be
pricing's different.
Yeah, like for myself, if it was paint and carpet, you know,
easy thing.
But now they put a very specific threshold on that, which is anything exceeding $500 in cost.
Major.
What is less than 500, by the way?
Yeah, $500. The contractor walking in.
In California.
Yeah.
Breeze, you pay.
You know, I ordered a pizza the other day and 8 wings, and it was like almost $90. Can you imagine a window?
Another $410 to have to get a permit.
Yeah. You know, it's like we got a guy here with the broken rib, so.
Shit, sorry.
He can't laugh too much. But you know what? Another thing that caught my attention was the second bullet point there. California ranked 7th in the nation for the most profitable states to flip a home with an average remodeling price of $83,382.
That's going to go up.
Yeah, you know what?
That's going to go up.
So at the end of the day, we were discussing, you know, a little bit about this before we went on the actual recording. It's just about the math, right? So it very clearly says that it's applicable to sellers who flip single family homes, right? Or anywhere below 4 units before they get to multifamily or commercial, right? But properties within 18 months from the day you bought them.
But see, I look at this like I just don't see where this protects anybody, right? I just don't see it. Why? Because I get it. There's investors out there that suck, that don't care, right?
Yeah.
And the article even uses the term putting lipstick on a pig.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you put lipstick on a pig, the buyer's going to come with an agent, right?
Right.
And an agent is supposed to has a fiduciary duty to protect or look out for the best interest of their buyer, right? And so, you know, as we're talking about before, that agent needs to make the proper recommendations to the buyer, particularly if it's an old house.
Yeah.
Right? Make the recommendation to get certain inspections, asbestos and mold and or lead, whatever the case may be.
Right.
The agent needs to know what they're doing. So to me, disclosing all these fixes doesn't make a difference. What if you're a seller of an old house anyway and not a flipper, for example, and the house still has all these issues, but now you don't have to disclose all of that information either way?
Well,
like, to me, it's a hindrance to house flippers.
Yeah, right? Of course.
Big time. And like trying to curb that business to me.
But so here's the thing. If I'm a homeowner and I'm looking to sell my house and I did some improvements, the rule doesn't apply to me.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. I think that this rule sucks. It sucks. It just doesn't make any sense.
So half of me says, yes, it sucks. Half of me says it doesn't suck. So the investor side of myself sucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says it sucks. And then the contractor side of me says it doesn't suck. And this is why the state of California does way too little for the protection of its contractors. It never, ever, ever, I'll say it out loud and proud, fucking California never does anything to protect a contractor. Everything, all the time, you hear all these homeowners bitching about, oh, a bad contractor. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Your average homeowner in the state of California, I'll be more specific, Southern California, hires a contractor maybe once or twice in their lifetime for major repairs. Us contractors have to deal with homeowners every fucking day of our life.
Right. And I think this puts you guys in even a worse spot.
No, because.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is when I have to disclose, if Danny's buying my flip, I have to disclose who did the work, what type of work you did. Right. Now, if there's any type of an issue, right, I'm done.
What, right,
but contractors are now going to get hit with a bunch of bullshit, right? Because it's the new law.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So now, your contractors are going to get, excuse my French, fuck even harder than you were before.
Not necessarily, because I see it this way. I already don't take work from investors because I know they're cheap as shit, right? Yeah. I know it. And that's just I'm generalizing, yes, but the vast majority of investors, like myself, are looking to amplify our spread. Yep. And we think that by holding the contractor's neck, we're going to make more money, right? Now, it's true. This is a true fact. Now, we nickel and dime contractors because we're looking at our end profit, not the contractor's benefit. We're trying to force the contractor to figure shit out so we can benefit at the end. Now, this rule protects the contractor in the sense of, you know what? You got to pay me retail. You got to pay me what my work is worth, which in turn forces the investor to analyze their deals a little extra more to make sure that the spread is there to be able to make everybody happy at the end and get your contractor to, it says, grant you the permits, grant you the checklist, a report of everything that was done and how it was improved, a complete, you know, just checklist of everything that was tampered with and how it was improved. So if you don't give me that, and I'm pretty sure there's, I mean, this is just the beginning of it. I'm pretty sure there's going to be some sort of release documents where the contractor can hold as collateral and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'll sign, or the inspector will sign the final. Now everything has to get inspected, but the permit belongs to the contractor, and I'm not going to give you the permit because it's mine as a contractor until you pay me in full. Therefore, you can't sell your house, or at least not meet the requirements of this new Assembly Bill 968.
But I mean, I
it's
think
an entanglement of shit.
It is, and but I think at the end of the day, utilizing a contractor either way, you're gonna get paid. You guys have the authority to file a mechanical lien on the property based on what your costs were, so you're gonna get paid. I think that the flip side of it is it's.
I'm not talking about the paying side. I'm talking about the nickel and diming side.
Gotcha. But that's just business, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, everybody's always good. I mean, I don't treat my contractors bad or the people that do work for me. I try to, because I want, especially if they're good guys, I want to keep them.
Yeah.
Right? And they're on time and they're like, no, that's, I don't build my relationships that way. That's one thing. But on the flip side of that, this, I mean, I was just looking a little further into the article and it clearly states, yeah, that, you know what? California is targeting flippers.
Yeah.
Exactly it. This law has nothing to do with protection or protecting the consumer, because if that was the case, it would apply across the board in our real estate deals, not just flipping deals. I get it. Flippers, we're quick. We want to get things done. We want to make a profit. But at the same time, there's people who own a house that still will make their own repairs, do it as cheap as possible, and not have to disclose all of this shit.
Right.
And there's no repercussion.
Well, and that's because flippers have given, bad flippers have given good flippers a bad name, right? It clearly says here, you know, the painted pig.
Yeah.
Lipstick on a pig. You know, you can paint the pig. We have a chapter of that in one of our books, you know, the painted pig, right? You can paint the pig whatever color you want, still a pig.
That's right.
You know, so... It's really trying to just, they're coming down on all those very low quality rehabbers out there that really don't give a shit about
the quality of work they were, the
end product.
Yeah, the end.
What they're delivering.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get that. And you know what? Fuck them. I mean, it's fucked up that they give us the.
But now we got to
pay for it. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about the other day. We're talking about wholesalers. You know how wholesalers come to you with these numbers that they think they're awesome, but they have absolutely no experience in construction. I mean, they wouldn't even be able to tell an 8D from a 6D nail, with the label on it. You know what I'm saying? So. If your permit requires for very specific hardware in whatever it is that you're doing framing, they don't know that one piece could be $50 and the other one could be $250, and then you need 8 of the 250 ones, you know, that's $2,000 that they didn't know even existed, you know.
100%, I agree.
And this makes it worse for them.
But this makes it worse for, I think, everybody in general.
Yeah,
the flipper, the consumer, right. The GC.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because California's, I mean, we're all here in California. We do business in California. What's one of the biggest things you hear? What's the biggest gripe about home buyers have about California? Housing prices are too high.
Yeah.
This isn't going to make it. This doesn't solve the problem. This does nothing for that problem. Because now if we got to pay more, right, our numbers have to match what we're paying.
Right.
So that's just going to raise prices of homes.
Yeah.
So again, I think this is a, like, I'm just going to say it out loud. This is, I think this is a bullshit law. I think it's just targeting house flippers to try to hinder that business.
Right.
That's what I see.
It says California laws are targeting flippers. Bill AB 968 comes hot on the heels of Assembly Bill 1771, proposed in 2022 by Assembly Member Chris Ward in San Diego.
Vote him out.
In which house flippers could have been taxed 25% of their profit under the California Speculation Act. This Chris Ward has nothing to do than rip off people's money.
Right. I mean, how many of these guys, this is the shit that bothers me about politicians.
Yeah.
How many of them have ever ran a business or even ran people or ran anything other than being a politician?
Right. Like, a bunch of bozos, man. It's like, I remember here in Riverside when they went very, very heavy on the patrolling of free parking downtown Riverside.
Uh-huh.
And then this dummy, I forget his name, otherwise I'd fully say it, disclose it. This dumbass had a restaurant downtown. He signed the stupid law. He approved the law or the new regulation. And then his car got towed.
Yeah.
His car got towed or got cited. And then he didn't like the law anymore. Then they went back to sign it off.
Yeah, because it's all good as long as it doesn't apply to me. Right. And then when it applies to me, oh, no, we can't do that after all.
Yeah, these are the dummies. This is the caliber of dummies that represent you guys, because none of them represent me for sure.
Yeah, no shit.
Anyways.
I just think that it's way over. To me, it's an overreach, right? To me, it's just an overreach. I get the idea behind it. Yes, protect the consumer, but it's not protecting the consumer. It's just jacking up prices.
That's all it is, man. It's all it is. You know, it's like for the California Contractors Board has very little, close to none, nothing, no programs protecting the contractor. It's like once you become a contractor, you're screwed. You're better off not having a contractor's license, you know? Because, again, we go on to deal with people, who knows? I mean, we don't know their ethic levels and if they're going to do you wrong at the end or hold you by whatever stupid mistake to hold your money back. Some have the intent of not paying their contractors from the get-go, you know?
That sucks, man.
And there's nothing for us to do other than, like, you can't call the contractors board and say, oh, I want to report Mrs. Danny Smith because she's not paying me for the job we agreed on. Oh, well, go find an attorney.
Yeah.
You know, but then Danny Smith calls the contractors board and says, XYZ contractor is not finishing my job. And then they come pounding on your door.
Give me your license.
Yeah, you know, like, it's stupid.
It is.
It's just one-sided.
It is. It is. And I think that's, again, this is the same thing. This is typical California bullshit, you know? Yeah. Typical California bullshit. It's one-sided. It doesn't, it's never seen, it just seems like a lot of the stuff that the politicians do don't look past their nose. They just see, oh, there's this, and this is what we're going to do to solve it. But never look at the big picture and the repercussions behind it.
Yeah, right? No, they're just the way I see it, and I get frustrated with all these people, bureaucrats, right?
Yeah,
it's just like when they did, oh, you can't be on the phone, right? You can't be on the cell phone, but you can text.
Yeah. Make me laugh, dude.
Right? You know, it's like backwards.
Yeah. And then other people were rear-ending other people because they were texting.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what? Were you on your phone? No, I was just texting. You know, wheels up, you know?
No shit. That was funny.
And this, they do all these moves, and then at the end, they come back and fix them.
Yeah.
Or they adjust them for them not to be as impactful.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But San Diego seems to be heavy on targeting
because
investors, man.
They were the first county or one of the first counties in California that started cracking down on wholesalers because they were saying they were jacking up the prices of the houses.
Yeah.
You know, again, this is exactly what this is going to do, because either you're going to have to hold the property for 18 months to get around this, and your holding costs are going to go up. Your holding costs go up, guess what? You got to sell the house for more, right?
Right.
Or you're going to have to use a contractor. Costs go up anyway, right? So, again, you have to sell the house for more, right? Yeah. Because at the end of the day, numbers are numbers.
Right.
And you're, I mean, you're either going to have to adjust your profit margins to come down or jack the price up of the property to keep your profit margin where it needs to be.
But how can you jack up the price of the property if there's a market to follow?
Yeah, that's true too.
That's right? Going to cap off.
Yeah.
Right? So we were talking about this earlier. You're either going to, the math is going to come out of somewhere.
Yeah.
You're either going to have to comply and hire a licensed contractor. And if you want the goodies that the contractor holds, which is now the permit, and you want to buy the permit back to be able to go and close escrow with this shit, you're going to have to pay contractor's retail price or adjust your payouts to that of keeping your contractor happy for him to facilitate you with those very now very valid documents, or hold on to the property for 18 months.
Or you're just going to have to get more creative at the acquisition.
I'm going to assume that they'll see like a track record. They're going to follow. I mean if you create a new entity for every purchase you make and then add the $800 California fee on every purchase as an expense of the business, I mean, that could be a way around, right? But then if it's an LLC or an S corp, they're going to say, "Well, wait a minute. Why isn't Mr. Campos here as a person on title? You know, why is it in an LLC or an S corp? You know?"
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking back at the quote, right? Where now we're going to have to get more. What was the quote again? One more time, Danny.
Oh,
because I think it good conversation point, right? Because we have to get better at solving the problem now. We can't. This is the problem. We can't use the same thinking.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a matter of getting much more creative in the acquisition side of the business to get a better deal.
So you know, there's a clause in this Assembly Bill 968, which says it talks about lawsuits and compliance. Fines and lawsuits await sellers who fail to comply with the AB 968. Should work be discovered that was not disclosed or disclosed work was not completed, a buyer would have grounds for rescission of the sale and damages. So trying to skirt the new law is not advisable. And flippers, you better fucking lawyer up.
Yeah, no shit.
It says right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, it's one of their bullet points. Flippers need to lawyer up.
Yep.
I mean, shit.
So flippers shouldn't leave anything to chance.
Yeah, I'll just go on and read what it says. You know, with the high price of California real estate, flippers shouldn't leave anything to chance. Like Campos just said, the cost of hiring a lawyer, now that's an added expense, is well worth ensuring a seller fully complies with the new laws when they list the house. Preparing disclosures, updating permits, and addressing possible issues before they arise means hiring a lawyer long before a house flip is completed is a prudent move. You know what? This fucking Chris Ward dude in San Diego, his cousin's a lawyer. And he bought him a beer, and he said, "Dude, you should draft something up like this so I can get more work."
Right, so I can get more work, exactly. Yeah. And my friends.
So now you have to, you know, you have to lawyer up for every flip that you do.
See, that's just more cost.
It's more cost.
More cost, less margin. You know what I mean? More cost, less margin. I at the end of the day, like I'm saying, I think it's just a matter of finding new ways, new strategies, or creating new creative ways of acquiring the property. Because typical way of doing it's going to have to change, right? It's going to have to. Because this is a lot of this. I mean, attorneys aren't cheap.
No. Right?
Contractors, we know it's going to cost retail pricing.
Yeah.
So that's going to increase. And I mean, so running my numbers in my head, right? Using my guy versus using a licensed contractor. that's a good 35% difference in my experience, right? 35 to 40 even.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my costs are going to go up now 35 to 40%. Then the attorney's fees, I don't even know what the hell that would look like.
Yeah.
Right? And then
you almost have to create an account and be a loyal customer to the attorney to have like that monthly retainer fee.
Right? Or
like,
just kind of, keep them on retainer.
Yeah. You know what, Campos? I like you, man. So as long as you give me $2,500 or $5,000 off of each flip, we'll be good, man.
Right?
You know? And then when you don't produce any flips, he's going to say, Campos, what the fuck, dude? Lazy ass. Like, give me a flip over here. I need a check. Or I'm going to take you off my special program, and now you got to pay me $10,000 every time.
Yeah, this is just going to, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast. I'm going to look into this a little more. I want to know if this is going to apply to mobile homes, though. Of these mobile homes and parks. I was just kind of looking that up beforehand, because if it doesn't, then fuck you bitches.
Yeah.
Changing the market.
What does it say? Let me see. I mean, we're just reading through this right now, you know.
I just think that, you know, going back to what we were saying earlier, is that this, again, you know, this is one of those things where everybody talks about affordable housing, cries about affordable housing, and then they do this to fuck up affordable housing, you know?
See, look, this is what he's doing. You know, we've heard of people getting into their first home, getting beat by cash offers from investors. Ward said at the time, when investors fall out of the buying pool, that will give regular home buyers a chance to buy a home.
Yeah,
How
does that even apply though? Because that what investor is buying at retail? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no,
that makes no sense at all. To me, it's just kind of let me put this out there for people to hate investors. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because investors aren't buying retail.
Yeah, you know. I'll share the story because I think it goes in line with California and the bullshit, you know, in here. I think I'm convincing myself to leave California, but anyways, it sounds like I'm persuading myself too. But, you know, the other day I was going to a mastermind in Newport Beach. I think I told you guys the story, and I get pulled over by CHP, right? I'm on the 241 and I'm going, you know, a little bit over 90. And he says, dude, you better have a very good reason why you're going so fast. And don't tell me you're going to the restroom. And I tell him, no. You know, it's like, I'm not going to the restroom. I'm totally 100% cool on that. And he said, well, you better have a very good reason. And I said, well, let me just tell you this. Inflation and cost of living in California, you think I can really make a living at 65 miles an hour? And he said, what? And I said, yeah. We, you know, with the speed of inflation and the cost of living and goods in California, do you really think I can make a living at 65 miles an hour? And he's all like, you know what, dude? That's a good one. I've never heard that. Get the fuck out of here. Go wherever you're going. Shit. He let me go. He didn't even give me a ticket. But it's true. It's true. You know, it's like, they force you, and I don't care how much you carve out. If you can carve out 2 hours before your meeting, right, to get to your meeting,
mm-hmm.
you don't have enough meetings in the day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You have nothing to do. Just wake up, shower your ass, and then sit till the 2 hour before your meeting gets here to leave in a very patient manner. That means you only have that one You know, in California traffic and the time you sit in traffic, you need another 2 hours in traffic.
Right.
Right. And then it just doesn't make sense. So half of your day already just dissipated into the air by giving yourself so much time to make it to your next meeting. That means you only have one.
That's why I, of course, I don't put the phone in my ear, but I use the Bluetooth in my truck.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not going to give you a ticket. So you can say you use a phone.
No, but I mean that, but because of traffic and the, you know, sometimes, I mean, I'm either driving a whole lot or I'm not driving at all. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I'm driving a lot, well, then I'll schedule a call because I know if I have to drive, you know, if, particularly from where I live to, let's say, the Orange County, right, that's an easy 2 hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll schedule at least two meetings within that time frame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Got to leave early. Okay, well, I know that by the time I leave, I'm going to jump on a call.
Right.
And that call would probably take a good, you know, 35, 45, up to an hour.
Yeah.
Then take the next call. By the time I'm done with that call, I show up to my meeting where I need to be.
Right. Right. So, you know, like what I was saying earlier about giving yourself so much time before your meeting, if you're employed by someone, I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
It's milking the hour. But when you're running your own business or a couple of businesses,
got to maximize your time.
You got to make it work, man. And to me, like, I got to be on the move. I got to be on the move all the time. I'm not the most organized guy. I just know that I have to be on the move.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes safely, I'll just say safely, I don't speed in busy freeways, you know. For them of you who are familiar with the 241, it's a rather empty freeway. It's a toll road.
Depends on the time.
Yeah, but it's fairly empty most of the time. You know, I mean, if you go between 9 and 11, 9 and 12, or even 9 and 1, it's a dead freeway. There's nobody on it. You know, and then after hours, after 6, 7-ish.
Yeah, it's empty again.
It's empty again, you know. So, I mean, I was driving safely. I mean, I was speeding, but I wasn't on my phone. I was, you know, just.
He just caught you.
Yeah, he caught me, but I pulled it off with the good one.
I like that, though.
Which makes sense.
I'm going to try that next time.
Which makes total sense, you know. With the speed of how fast you have to generate for you to provide, 65 miles an hour doesn't cut it anymore.
Good point, man. I like it.
We got to start flying soon.
Get some Red Bull.
Yeah.
Helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter, man. But, you know, let's hear from beautiful Danny over here. Beautiful people, what's happening? Say hi. What's your take on this, Ad? You're on the slow side today. What's up?
Yeah, I'm a little slow. Getting back on my activities, my mind is.
That's good. You got to build up the momentum, and it starts tonight. Come on.
What do you want? Pushy.
You guys already said it all that complaining.
Yeah.
I don't know. This law is just one more in California to help people identify what they're doing on their own business, to be honest. I think there is good and bad. The good point on that one, it's they need to know what they are doing before, you know, nobody wants to get sued over there and lose what they just sold. So make sure they... I'm going to follow these little highlights on the law. I mean, that it's one. If you get something that was flipped and they are under the law, it's going to be good. On the other hand, I still think there's a lot of people that's going to be trying to be under the covers, you know, not doing everything that they need to do.
Yeah.
And, I think for agents out there, if they are representing people or investors, they should keep their eyes open because it might bring them a little complication on the end, you know, if they don't do their homework and check everything on the list. That is one.
Right.
So.
Did we touch on this? The provisions of AB 968? A record of all major and minor repairs cost over 500 bucks. We said that.
Yeah.
A copy of all related permits. If permits
yeah.
are unavailable, the seller must assist the buyer in obtaining them from associated third parties. But wait, this is what I was talking about where the contractors are going to get fucked. The name of each contractor associated with each permit and their contact information.
Wow.
That's some shit.
I missed that one, but that is some BS.
Right?
That is some BS.
A lot of work.
Yeah. You know, I mean.
Who else is going to be out there representing the seller? If it doesn't matter, if it's an investor, you know, make sure that person is doing the homework. Because if you're a contractor, you have a agent representing your sale, and they do not do the homework, they don't, you know, cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
You need a list of that, the stuff, those little works that need to be done. It will come back to you, not exactly done. I don't even know if they're going to get, you know, anything on here, but that's going to pull it back their profit or their how do you say that, their fees. But you as a contractor, I mean, as an investor, you need to be careful on that. Make sure that you're doing the right disclosure. That's what I think.
It sucks, man.
It does, because here's a question. What's the expectation for warranty? Right? And how long?
Forever.
Right? So, I mean, if you're the roofing contractor and 2 years later the roof leaks, are you on the hook for that? Like, for how long? According to this law, it doesn't say, but I mean, do they have warranty requirements from each contractor? Like, that's where it's going to hurt, because if contractors have to go back and do warranty work years later, that's going to be fucked up.
Yeah, you know what? California sadly makes it very difficult to conduct business. That's 100%. Why a lot of people leave California, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks, you know. I'll just say, California, you're a bitch, man. I mean, you and everybody that manages how you're growing or maybe sinking, you know, it just sucks overall. What an embarrassment of representatives we have.
Yeah.
Because, it sucks because they say we want to protect the consumer. A contractor is a consumer. A contractor is further, not only has bigger purchasing power in that of goods and job creation,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, then who's the consumer? It's like, what the hell?
Right.
You know, we pay a bigger tax bracket than the non-contractor individual. And we still get the short end of the stick?
All the time.
That sucks, man.
It does. I don't know. It's again, this is just typical California bullshit, right?
That, yeah.
You know, just it makes it very hard for you to do business. But this is also, you know, house flipping. We're not large scale businesses, right? We're not that big enterprise. We're not those, you know, we're not purchasing hundreds and thousands of homes on an annual basis, right? So this law doesn't hurt those big guys. It's going to hurt the little guys. The small businesses.
Yeah.
And again, this just goes hand in hand with what we've been seeing, California really trying to put the wrenches on small businesses.
Yeah.
You know? And this is just another flavor of it.
It sucks.
Yep.
It sucks. I remember when I got my contractor license years ago, it took me a matter of, I think, 2-3 months when it hit me and I realized what a big mistake I had made, you know, and because there's so much to so many requirements to meet, you know, and I guess being on the investor side and knowing that I carry all that baggage as a contractor and going to an investor and having them, you know, want to cut down on my prices, it makes me not want to look for investors to work for.
Right.
You know, It's like I was telling you earlier, I gave this one guy a quote for some repairs in his house, and it was rather small quote, you know, and mm-hmm. 26 grand. And he came back and said, well, can you do it for 20? I'm like, well, 20 is my hard cost, you know? 6 is my money, and I still have to warranty my work for who knows how long.
Yeah, no shit.
So you really, really genuinely are telling me, hey, you know what, just deliver everything, fucking install it, and I don't really care if you feed your family or not.
Yeah, well, that's...
It doesn't add up.
That's the non-business owner mentality. So you ever notice this? This is so two things a friend of mine kind of pointed out to me, which was kind of cool. Number one, he had this quote on his Facebook page that says, everybody loves your work until they have to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
That was one. The other was when one business owner is dealing with another business owner on pricing, the business owner, one or the other, will never ask for a discount or right. rarely ask for a discount. Mm-hmm. Because they understand the pain and everything else associated with running their business.
Right.
This right here is exactly the opposite, right? Non-business owner telling everybody, hey, you got to take a bath here on this, this, and this, and this, and I don't give a fuck how you feed your family.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, I read here they surveyed 600 registered voters. Just to look into this and the processes of this bill, right? And then it says, you know, who do they survey? Veterans, public service workers, low income seniors, and low income families with children.
Come on, man! You know?
It's like they couldn't have a better audience,
right?
To give them the validation that they needed to say, you know what, Mr. Judge, swing the fucking hammer. It's approved.
Yep. Yeah. Know? I mean, seriously, as like, it is, when you get the low-income people and then you get that spin of these real estate investors are making too much money.
Yeah, they didn't ask 600 investors.
No, and not or 600 random people. They set the market. Like, they set this shit up, you know what I mean? To like, oh, yeah, we got to pursue this. We got 600 people. Say, come on, man. That's such a... fixed fucking survey. You know what I mean?
What is 600 people, by the way?
And yeah, what is 600 in people California? In California? Give me a fucking break.
A block?
What does right? that
people
mean?
Waiting in line at the red light over
yeah.
here?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like...
yeah, again, this is just typical California bullshit.
Yeah, I didn't know this episode was going to piss me off.
I know. I mean, but at the end of the day, though, our listeners out there, you're like, we don't like this law. But read it for yourselves. Take a look at it and right. really dig into it because, you know what? I mean, it's really going to require you to think differently about your flips. Right. And don't forget, this isn't something that's coming. This already hit yesterday.
July 1st.
Yeah. Yesterday.
July 1st.
Yeah, I sit here with mixed emotions, you know, wearing both hats, the investor and the contractor side. And
you're fucked on both sides, dude.
No, you know, half of me says, well, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter because I don't take work from investors. So now it might be where I might consider for my construction company to take some work from investors if they're forced to pay up a little more. You know, and not nickel and dime people. You know, I want to say that the vast majority of the people that have conducted business with me via my construction services, they always tip me. You know, they always give us a little more.
That's cool.
Because they appreciate the hard work. They appreciate the quality work. And we're not the cheapest. But it just goes on to say that we are very selective about who we want to work for.
Yeah.
You know, like I tell people, I don't care how much money you have. If I don't like you, I'm not going to work for you. You know?
That's a good place to be in, though.
Yeah, you know? And then you attract that same quality people. And then one of those persons isn't going to refer you to a cheap ass.
Right.
Right? And then you come back and say, hey, dude, why'd you put me over there with this guy? He didn't pay me. You know, the reputation, their own reputation amongst each other is going to be damaged, and they care for that. Other people just simply don't, you know. And I mean, this business of real estate investing, there's that half of the population doing it that are just out for the neck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, those are the ones that damage us who want to do it right, right. Long term, that are looking at this more of a career and not just a fad, because yep. I saw something on the side network job. Channel, you know?
HHG.
Yeah, whatever that is. You know, it's like, but yeah, man. I mean, it's just another bump in the road.
Yep. I mean, again, it just goes back to the quote, right? We're just going to have to get more creative about the problem at hand, right? Can't use the same solutions for the problem that got us, or I guess, how did it go? They got us there?
Yeah. So the quote says, you cannot... You
can't solve problems. Solve.
You cannot solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them.
Yeah. So it's just, I, you know.
Which is, if you get in a problem via ignorance, don't be ignorant.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
Do your research. Do your, I mean, just do your due diligence and go to others that know what you don't know.
Yep.
But don't fix it with the same amount of ignorance that right. you did.
But I think, again, this is just a matter of changing up the way you acquire properties in a lot of cases, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if you used wholesalers, well, then maybe your wholesaler needs to come down on his assignment fee, or again, get more creative about how you're going to acquire properties.
I mean, this is going to be interesting for wholesalers, because once they put the property under contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got to flip that document ASAP.
Yep.
For their benefit, for the betterment of their fee, they have to flip that document ASAP, and then they have to comply with all this shit.
Maybe that's why they did. They are targeting wholesalers before, and this is just another way. San Diego's
been very, very heavy on
it's just another way to push them and force them to do that.
Yeah, but the, I mean, if and I know we're getting here to the last couple of minutes of our episode, but and this might be just another conversation on how it does really impact them. So you get 123 Main Street under contract. One of your contingencies is, I'm going to move the property in the next 30 days, right? And then you move the property, and I didn't touch it. I didn't do any work to it. That has to get disclosed on the A to B.
From the wholesaler?
Right?
No, because he's not taking title. Title's not being deeded over to him. It's just the contract itself.
Yeah.
Just right. Assignment.
So there's no, assignment. There's not going to be any HUD documentation with their name on it.
Yeah.
Assignment.
Just the assignment.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they need to take this into consideration and now readjust their numbers based on what they present to the investor.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They really need to, they got to rethink their strategy because utilize contractor retail pricing.
Right.
Versus the quote-unquote wholesale pricing that they normally use.
They already suck ass at, you know, getting their numbers together for repairs.
Yep.
This is going to kind of call them out, accountability a little more of how they come up with those numbers, closer to those numbers.
Yep.
Anyways, we're going to talk about
this. Yeah, but this is just going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how this all starts to play out, you know, and how that's going to impact things. I mean, just again, going back into the article, 49% agree that this will drive up the cost of housing and push residents out. That's what they're saying. 49% of people that were surveyed in, I don't know how many people.
Downtown Los Angeles. Riverside.
Yeah. Downtown Riverside.
Yeah.
The ones that got their car towed.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. This just drained me today. So.
This was a great topic.
It was actually a real good topic. Again, you know, listeners, do, you know, look into this. A, B, 968, Assembly Bill 968, and just read it and get a good feel for it on your own. And if you want some information or you have any questions about it, want to contact us, info@becomeaninvestor.com. We're more than happy to help you out and answer any questions that we can, right?
Yeah, and if you guys want, you can follow us at Instagram, Facebook, and don't forget about Spotify and Apple Podcast.
Apple TikTok.
Give us that 5 stars, and I see you guys later.
Good night. Right on. Good night,
beautiful people.